Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Money got bars on
bars on site. MVP
in the night.
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Gooners podcast. My name's Lewis. I'm joined by Sean again. Sean, how you doing, man?
This is like four in a row, man.
Might as well just listen. We need a rebrand. Just the Lewis and Sean show, man.
Yeah, Lewis and Sean show. Yeah.
How you doing, anyway, man?
Yeah, all good, man. All good.
Looking forward to football returning.
Yeah, missed it massively, man. So yeah, happy it's back.
Oh, I think your mic is doing it.
Hang on one sec. Let me just readjust. Yeah, I can hear that. Let me readjust. All right, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, apologies. Better.
No, that's cool. Yeah, they're infiltrating your device, man. They're
capturing,
man.
we're all in trouble, man.
They're gonna infiltrate the stream and start saying that you think Spurs are gonna win 3-0.
Bro, this cost of living crisis is hitting me from every angle, man.
I hear it. Well, we've got obviously Arsenal returning on Saturday, early kickoff on the midday kickoff, North London derby. It's the game that, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about North London derbies? Like, as a general feel, do you get worried by them? Are you excited by them? I always used to grow up with North London derbies as like a bit of an excitement around them, because I always felt like, you know, it was a game we always did quite well in. And we had a really good record over Spurs for such a long time, always finishing above them, obviously winning trophies. It was great. And obviously the last few years, things have kind of taken a bit of a reverse turn. You know, Spurs have finished above us for, you know, quite a few consecutive seasons now. And the games have been a lot more even. Maybe even Spurs have a better record against us, maybe over the last 10 games or so. I would have to check that out maybe. But how do you feel coming into these games now? Are you excited by them?
Yeah, it's a mixture of excitement and nervousness. Like you, obviously growing up, it was always a procession. We always used to batter them on our way to winning, you know, leagues, cups, whatever it was. So it was calm, man. Obviously, our rivalry at the time was more with United, and that was the game we always tended to focus on. But like you said, things have changed. They've improved. We've regressed. And so it's leveled out. It's bottomed out. So, and I think, yeah, I can't even lie, I think they finished above us like 5-6 years in a row. It doesn't look good. But I think at the moment in recent history, these games have tended to go with the home team. So, you know, we tend to win at home. They tend to win at the shithole. So, yeah, man, it is what it is. So, yeah, I when I look at it now, I feel... Well, if we have everyone available, I feel confident, but there's always a bit of trepidation. You know, Conte is very good in big games as well. So, and the way Spurs are set up, is to take advantage of, you know, teams who like to press high and commit loads of bodies forward. So we'll see, man. Hopefully we get the win, but yeah, there's definite nervousness just because they have the offensive potential to hurt us as well.
Yeah, the last time Spurs beat us at home, well, it was a League Cup game where they beat us at home in 2018. But the last time they beat us at home in the league,
it's like 2010 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm scrolling. Wow, Jesus, is it that far away? Wow, I'm still not there. Okay. 2010, you're right, the 3-2 one. Was that like the Yunus Kabul header?
I remember we were, I don't even know how we lost. We were 2-0 up early. That was
smashing them as well.
Us. Yeah, I don't even know what happened. But yeah, so you're looking at 12 years ago, man. So, it's down to us just to maintain that, man. So keep it going.
Yeah, you're right. You're going through this list now. It's either, you know, home win, or a draw. If a team gets maybe a little bit lucky, there's been a few draws, but in recent seasons it's basically gone with the home team. The last five games have all been won by the home team in this fixture. Obviously the home fixture last year was a very happy one for us. We were 3-0 up very early doors, and that was like, that really kind of was part of us kickstarting our season last year. I'm just trying to think back to that game. It was, Emil Smith Rowe got us off to an early start.
It was him and Saka, really. It was a day for the Haylen boys, isn't it?
It was a great day. And that first half was blistering.
Yeah.
And I think, at home, we can really be like that. I don't think much has changed from, I look at both teams and I look at the Spurs team that played that game. It's not too dissimilar. I know they've got Kulusevski now, who would play maybe instead of Lucas Moura. Actually, I guess it is quite a different.
It's quite different.
They played that game.
They've got Benton Kerr as well. And yeah,
probably
a few different changes and Perisic and.
Fair enough. I stand corrected. It is a different team. But just in terms of like the way both teams play, I wouldn't look at, that team that played that game. And, our team would be a little bit different as well, because I don't suspect Tierney will play. Tomiyasu probably won't play. Aubameyang's definitely not playing. Emil Smith-Rowe won't play. So both teams are quite different. Mm-hmm. But if I look at the styles of both teams, if we play like the way we did that day, I think it would be the same outcome, if that makes sense. Because I think the way we played that day would basically blow away any team, maybe outside Man City. And even Man City last season, when we played them at home and played the same way, we got to them as well. And we're probably unlucky to lose that game. But yeah, I'm confident if we can play our game. And I've looked at Spurs this season and... I don't know. There's a bit of a debate going on as to, like, are they actually a good team? What do you think? Are they a good team, or are they just got really good finishes?
Yeah, it's the evaluation over Spurs is sometimes it's so hard to make, because you're looking at them and you're thinking, I mean, they get dominated, they get penned back for most of their games. In most games they played, every time I've watched them, they're getting pinned back, but conversely, some would say maybe that's just their strategy. They're literally trying to lure teams onto them and hit in transition, because the most recent game just before the break, if you remember, against Leicester, they were under pressure for ages in that game. They were only like 3-2 up and then Son gets a hat trick. But generally, in general play, I've not been too impressed with them. And I think even if Conte's strategy is to sit deep and sort of try and nullify and absorb pressure, but I don't know, man, because teams seem to be able to get into their final third quite easily. Like, you're thinking, cool, you might want to sit up and soak pressure, but it's not like you're denying loads of shots on goal or good chances, and you do just wonder what they would be like if a team could suppress them properly and they couldn't get out. So I'm hopeful with that, especially as we've got loads of players you can drop in between the lines and occasionally drag people out. So I think it will be quite an interesting game tactically as well, because we know how we want to play. Spurs know how they want to play. Like, I feel like the setup for the game is already there. So it's about, you know, who's able to execute better and who's maybe able to lay traps better, or who's able to nullify each other better, man. So, yeah, it's an interesting tactical one, and it's probably one which is going to reinforce biases either way, dependent on result.
Yeah, I was just looking at Spurs now. Like, you talk about them being not particularly repressive.
Yeah, good at repressing shots, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their games now. It's like they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Five of their seven games, they've conceded 14 or more shots.
That is crazy.
Sounds like very Emery-esque, you know, like
basketball games.
On you know, one occasion, it was 20 shots they conceded against Wolves, you know. And I know maybe they weren't like all great opportunities and stuff like that, but still, to me, that doesn't sound like a tactic that is sustainable. And I've been saying this, and I don't want to come across as like a hater, and I've been wrong about Spurs, right? I was wrong last season about Spurs. I didn't think it was sustainable. It was to a degree it was sustainable. But they still only finished like 2 points ahead of us. And, you know, we fell off a cliff, really and truly. So yeah, it was sustainable, but it's sustainable to a point, right? Like it's sustainable to, maybe, you know, their ambitions might be to finish top four. And
yeah, I was going to say, maybe it's enough to get top four, but that's probably the ceiling of where they are.
You know, exactly. I just don't think that style is conducive to, you know, finishing in the top two, challenging for the title. I don't think that style is going to wash. And yeah, they've won five out of their seven games, and literally they're just a point behind us and haven't played, you know, anywhere near as good as us, anywhere near as controlling football games as us, you know, but there's still only a point behind.
And you have to give them credit for it as well, because those two draws, they came away at West Ham and Chelsea, which could conceivably be places where you feel like, oh, they could drop points in both places. So to come away from both of those places without losing, it's you know, and you know, me, I'm an aesthetics merchant. You know, the way I view football is very, very heavily influenced by Wenger. So I do view football through a certain lens. So it isn't for my eye, but you can't deny that it's effective to a point. And like I said, yeah, it's probably effective enough to get them into the top four, especially considering they probably have the most ruthless finishes in the league. So, and when you do have that, the style they play, you need to have ruthless finishes. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But the challenge will come in the sense that, you know, we're all going to be playing a lot of games in October. Conte traditionally hasn't done well in Europe. You know, how will he rotate? Will they survive with the schedule themselves as well? So I don't know, man. There's a lot of open-ended questions. So I guess it's just a case of wait and see at the moment.
Yeah, there's definitely ways we can hurt Spurs, you know. I don't see... I know Conte wasn't in charge when we played him at home last year, was he? It was still
Nuno.
Nuno, right? Yeah. But it's still... I don't want to call it the same style, because it isn't, because Conte is getting the results. I think Conte is, you know, this is Conte's style, and it's a team molded in the way that we've come used to thing. But I don't think that they're quite there yet in how Conte wants them to be. You know, I just don't see how this could be the plan to be, you know, heavily outshot in certain games and expect to come away with 3 points. Oh, it's always part of the plan. I just don't see it. You don't make your plan in a football game to concede 18 shots a game. Like, that's... I don't know what plan that is, but it's a terrible plan for a football game, in my opinion, anyway. And I don't see how it is sustainable. But that being said, you know, up the other end of the pitch, they've also scored
18 goals.
Is it 18 goals, right? They scored 18 goals in seven games. They've, you know, it's 18 goals from like 100 shots. Yeah. That's 109 shots, then they've scored 18 goals. Just to put that into some context, let's just see how many shots we've had. Not loading. Just getting the statistics up here. So we've had 117 shots and scored less goals. I think we've got 17 goals. So yeah, they're particularly lethal, man. And they've got like this ruthless streak about them that I really am jealous of. You know, I crave it in our attackers. You know, when I see us being wasteful in front of goal, you know, oh, dear God, just bloody shoot. You know, those kind of feelings. Oh, Saka, please, my weak foot. You know, oh, guys, stop passing it around the box. With Spurs, you don't get any of that. It's they're in the area.
It's crap. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I think that's a clear area you can say they're ahead of us in, and you wouldn't find me arguing back with it. You know, left foot, right foot, Son or Kane. You know, there it's clean, man. Like I said, I think in my opinion, those are the two most ruthless finishers in the league, just generally. Yeah. So I can't. And that's always going to be the thing in the back of your head. You know, you're going to be watching. You're going to be like. And in my mind, I'm already seeing it. I feel like it will be like a, you know, the pattern of the United game where we're going to have a lot of territory. We're going to have a lot of dominance. So it's a case of, you know, just being prepared from a transition perspective. You know, that's what they're waiting for. Obviously, if we can have Partey available, I'm confident we can manage that better. Yeah. So like I said, I'm happy to put that United game to the side because just generally under Arteta, we've not really been a team that's conceded transitions generally or even just chances through the middle, so probably just the case of naivety on that day, and you know Lokonga probably doesn't close space as well, so like I said the pattern of this game is already set for me, so it's just about who can execute their game better. Let's see
it's really crucial, and we've done this a lot this season, and that'll give us a lot of credit for us is we have scored at the any time to score a goal in a football game is a crucial time, right? Mm-hmm. But because goals are, you know, you know, goals win football games. But, you know, we've taken a lot of early leads in games this season, you know, scoring just at the right time. And I think Spurs are particularly susceptible to when going behind. Mm. I think they're a little bit like us, even though I would say I think they're probably better at us. You know, maybe chasing the game a bit, just because they have these ruthless attackers where, you know, you give them one chance and they can score. They're very clutch. But I think when they do go behind, this won't be for all games, I'm sure, because they just came from behind and were they behind against Leicester?
They might have been behind against Leicester.
Yeah, so that you know, it's not for every game. They do come behind and win. I'm not saying they can't, but I do think they're easier to play when they're chasing a game. Because now they have to change their style. So I do think if we can do what we've been doing this season, you know, because I think we're going to start putting them under the pressure. We're going to have a really good 15 minutes, I think, you know. And last season in this fixture, we scored within that 15 minutes. And then guess what? 5 minutes later, the second one came. Another 5 or 10 minutes later, the third one came. And all of a sudden, game is done. Game is killed. I definitely think that game could follow the same rhythm in this game. Mm-hmm. If we get that goal in the first 15 minutes, because I think that then suits us. We're happy to just, you know, keep the ball then and, you know, pick them off. But it doesn't suit them, I don't think, you know. Mm-hmm. They've now got to come out and play.
Yeah. And the reality is, in my opinion, we're the much better football inside. And I want that to be shown on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? So I want us to, and you know, this has just been a factor generally. You know, if you look at all the graphs, all the metrics that you've been seeing this season, it shows that Arsenal were very, very high up, you know, in terms of being able to sustain, in terms of chances created, in terms of pinning teams back, in terms of chances conceded. It all looks good on the graphs, you know, and it's just a case of doing it on the pitch, you know. And I don't like sometimes, you know, when I see those stats which talk about Arsenal haven't played anyone good, or and you know, because the reality is, if you beat the bottom 10 twice, that's 60 points, you know, that you can accumulate just like that. But again, conversely, there is kudos to, you know, we want to be able to change the narrative, and changing the narrative is by beating, you know, the sides that are considered the bigger sides. Do you know what I mean? So I think this game and the next game against Liverpool are perfect opportunities, especially as they're both at home, to do so. I think if you could get, you know, minimum 4 points from six, it really begins to, you know, to start to change the narrative around that. So hopefully we can get the win. I'm going to the game, so I'll be so excited, man. You know, the crowd, for me, probably the last like 12, 18 months, the atmosphere at the Emirates has been as good as I've ever seen it, honestly, ever seen it. So the crowd will be up for it. Everyone will be up for it, man. So hopefully it just translates.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway, with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona, and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Yeah, 100%, man. I wish I was going. I did have tickets, but I'm actually going away for this game, so I won't be able to go myself. But actually, I think I'll be mid-air when the game is going on, so I'll be like sweating, like when I land I'll be like waiting for those notifications to come in. I'll be paying that data charge just for every I'll happily pay a tenner a notification if it's for Arsenal goals, I can't lie to you. But it's just going back to Spurs though, just saw some injury news today that, you know, potentially Kulusevski is a doubt. Never know with these big games, man, like mind games being played, you know, this player's not doubt, is might be doubtful, this player's got not it being in training, la 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 la. We do it. I'm sure, you know, other teams will do it as well. Let's just say Kulusevski is injured and can't play in this game. How important is that to Spurs? And, you know, do you think that swings the game, you know, to our favour?
I think we were probably slight favourites for the game anyway, but I can't lie, I'd rather not see Kulusevski, as I really rate him. I think he's a really, really good player. He's probably the most, you know, one of the most technical ones in that team as well. Very creative, and, you know, probably makes our job a lot easier on that right-hand side for either Tierney or Zinchenko, whichever one starts as well. So, because that's less of a threat you have to worry about, although they will bring in Richarlison, who, you know, who's another threat himself. So yeah, but I'd rather play, because Richarlison's another one who can score goals, but I wouldn't class him as a creative threat. So it would mean that, you know, our sole focus more would be on Son and Kane, in my opinion. Because if you look at where the damage came from when they beat us 3-0 at the back end of last season, it was that right-hand side, you know. We had Cedric and Holding. You know, think about that now. You've got White and Saliba. It's just night and day in terms of what there is, you know. Think about how quick Ben White is. He's so much more equipped. Ben White didn't even play in that derby, if you remember, back at the end of last season. He was injured. No, so we had Holding and Cedric. So very, very different. And, you know, we're talking about conducive to the style we want to play. You need to have fast defenders for it. So, you know, interested to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think Kulusevski is someone I worry about because when I look at Spurs, I look at their team that's likely to play and I don't see huge amounts of quality throughout it. You know, I like Romero as a centre-back. But other than that, I don't really rate any of their defenders like that. I'm not really worried about any of their quality. Their midfield, Bentancur is like a decent player.
All right.
But he's not really my cup of tea. You know, I don't think he starts for us. I don't think any of their midfielders start for us, to be honest.
No, it would be closest would be Bissouma, and he doesn't start for them at the moment.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So he's been on the bench every game so far. So
yeah, and that would be quite interesting to see whether they start to bring Bissouma back in. You know, well, maybe
I also think if this Kulusevski stuff is true and he does miss the game, it'd be interesting to, because obviously they play 3-4-3, but they might go to, if you remember the Leicester game before the break, the game changed when they went to a 3-5-2 and they just had Kane and Son up top. And they had an extra body in midfield, because at the moment what tends to happen is they do, even if they do want to, you know, it's easy to outnumber them when they're just playing the two in midfield, you know what I mean? So if they do put Bissouma in and they have Bissouma alongside Højbjerg and Bentancur, that makes things a bit more interesting, you know, up against Xhaka, Partey and Ødegaard as well. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I think from an Arsenal perspective, it's very easy to select the team, maybe bar left back if everyone's fit. It just depends on, you know, Tierney started to build up ahead of steam now.
Still would start Zinchenko for me.
Yeah, I would, but you know, I think Tierney's the better all-round defender, even though he doesn't give us as much in build up. So you know, obviously when Tierney plays, Xhaka probably drops in a bit more, because obviously he needs the help in terms of build up. When, you know, what's noticeable when Zinchenko doesn't play, Xhaka's just high up the pitch. So tactically it'll be interesting to see how we approach it. Do we want someone like Zinchenko in, so that maybe with Xhaka there as well, that might push Martinelli more inwards, or you know, I don't know. I think there's interesting tactical battles all over the pitch, because like you said, they're not overly creative Spurs, so obviously what tends to happen is that Kane always drops in. You know, well, does Partey sit on him, does Saliba follow him, who's instructed to go after him? We know Son likes to make that run from, you know, out to in, that left channel. So obviously White has to make sure he switched on, ready to follow him. And I actually think he's going to do quite well against Son, if I'm to be totally honest.
Yeah.
I think he's equipped to deal with that. So there's that as well. So yeah, I think there's some interesting tactical battles there as well, man. So let's see as well. Jesus, will be up against the three, you know, rather than normally a two. So how he balances that, where he chooses to go. You know, sometimes he likes to drift to the left and Martinelli goes through the middle. So, yeah, man. But I'm sure, I'm sure Arteta's got his plan for this game. I'm sure they're going to be ready. He don't need to tell them. They're going to be hungry for it, you know. So it's one of those games, from a motivational standpoint, you're not worried in it. But it's just going to be interesting to see how the tactical battle plays out. So
yeah, look, we've had a lot of time to prepare for this game. I know we've had some players away on international duty, but I mean, when you compare us to a lot of the other Premier League teams, we've lost far less players When I look at Spurs, for example, I mean,
Kane played for 290 minutes over the internationals as well.
Richarlison was with Brazil, right?
Was with Brazil, yeah.
Son must be with South Korea.
I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was.
I think he is, because I saw a video of him scoring the other day.
Oh, okay. South Korea.
So I think he must be with South Korea. Bissouma, who does Bissouma play for?
Mali, I don't know.
I would imagine he's gone. Højbjerg was playing for Denmark.
Yeah, he was definitely playing for Denmark.
Bentancur, who does he play for? Like Uruguay?
Yes.
I think he must have been away as well.
Romero. Yeah.
See, a lot of their players actually went away. And, we're talking about, you know, going away and playing in quite distant lands, not playing, you know, in Scotland. in Glasgow against Ukraine. It's they've gone to, you know, quite long flights, early kickoff on Saturday, which isn't going to help them. So I think preparation standpoint, with us keeping a lot of our guys at home, I think who are the only guys that went away for us? Tierney,
Ødegaard, Partey, but he didn't play. Partey
ended up coming back, right?
Yeah, he ended up coming back. Tomiyasu played once and he came back.
Right.
Obviously Zinchenko didn't go.
No.
Who else? No, Saka was the only one.
Saka. But then Saka didn't play a huge amount of games, did he?
He came on as a sub, did he? No, he started the first one.
Right.
And then he came on as a sub for a half hour in the second one.
Right.
So he probably had, he did have the most minutes. Ramsdale went away but didn't play.
Mm-hmm. Ben White didn't go.
To be fair, Ben White was at home.
Gabriel was at home.
So... Yeah. So yeah. Xhaka's the only one that played.
Xhaka played twice for Switzerland.
But to be fair, that's the only one I trust that is durable to play 90 minutes every 4 or so days. So
yeah. So I mean, we've got a big edge there.
Yeah.
Preparation wise, because number one, we managed to keep a lot of our guys at home, and number two, played significantly less amount of football across our team than Spurs. Yeah. So I think you know, on those early kickoffs on a Saturday, straight after, I mean, you know, some of these guys probably played like, you know, last night or you know, night before. You know, a couple days out from the game. These are big things. Some of them might only be arriving back into training tomorrow or today, late today, maybe. You know, these are quite significant
factors
into how the game is going to play out. But you know, just obviously paying attention to us. We've got a few selection, I wouldn't say woes, but we've got maybe some fitness concerns. You know, obviously we. Does Twitter even melt down anymore when Partey gets injured? I don't think it does, right? It's just like,
I don't know, man. I don't know. Do you know what? Partly there's a cynic in me because we called back a lot of players this window, and I'm just like, you know how Fergie used to do it, where it was just like they would go, they might be around for the first one, and then all of a sudden they've got a mysterious injury, and they come back.
Gaffer.
But then that weekend they're playing for Man United.
So, 90 minutes.
And you know what? I hope Arteta does something like that. I hope he does lean into something like that, if possible. Because it's obviously it's not just for us. Everyone is going to be a massive, you know, October is, I think they said there's only like everyone is playing like literally every 3 days in October. So yeah, from a fixture standpoint, it's going to be good, especially after this international break. So yeah, we need everyone available. Even guys that I'm not necessarily keen on, I just need them available just because of, you know, to give a reprieve, you know, that there's certain guys that you don't really want to have to see like Saliba playing the Europa if you know, if possible. So that from that sort of perspective. So yeah, man. So fingers crossed.
Well, you obviously alluded to, you know, Partey being back, and we also spoke about our issues in the Man United game and how this game stylistically could be extremely similar to the Man United game, even though it's at home. And but I think you're 100% right. And you know, if we want to play that style of football and we want to dominate a game, you know, Partey is crucial to it because he gives you the defensive stability where his defensive numbers aren't like amazing. He's not this N'Golo Kante ball winner, nothing like that. He's not that. And he's not like this offensive wizard where, you know, he's creating chance after chance after chance. No, but he's just fundamental to the way we want to defend and the way we want to attack and the way we want to keep the ball as well. And, you know, when you look at the goals we conceded against Man United, they're very like when you do the still images of how those goals came about and how the ball broke down, that Partey in at least two of those goals, you would envisage him to be in certain positions where those gaps don't appear.
The sixth position, the more and more I look at it, I just feel like it's one for definitely a more experienced player. Which is why, like, even though I'm not keen on him, probably Elneny does better at Old Trafford than Lokonga in those situations as well.
It's a position of discipline, isn't it?
That's it. Even the more I see it now, especially with the way we use our fullbacks, it's even less about just ball progression. It's more about just you're a body there, essentially. You're a release valve for one of the midfielders or the centre backs, but you're also there to sweep up second balls and win duels mostly as well. So, yeah, it's mostly about doing the basics and fundamentals right, you know, more often than not, I guess, which is why Arteta likes Elneny, because even though he's not going to do anything special, he's going to recycle and he's going to be right there to snuff out where it needs to be snuffed out. So, yeah, 100%, man. I think, you know, I'll be very confident if I see Partey fit and available for this game as well, just because I know we're not going to give anything away easily in the middle, especially if both him and Xhaka are there sweeping second balls as well. So, yeah.
They don't lose too many midfield battles when both of them are playing.
That's it. And when you think about, we've got the youngest team in the league, but they're the oldest. You know, Xhaka just turned 30 this week. What, Partey's 29. And I think I think that might be a conscious decision from Arteta just to keep experience in that position. Mm-hmm. He's probably thinking we can afford to have like, you know, young, inexperienced guys elsewhere, but to keep it solid in the middle. It's important from his standpoint.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. Like, I think we're all hoping Partey plays and that he's fit. And then, is it the Europa game after this?
Yes.
Right. I think. So, and then just rest, have a week off, and then
So from now, yeah. So it's after from Saturday, every Saturday, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday schedule. Basically, we have now.
But the Europa games, we should be able to
rotate. Heavy. So that and that's why I said even the guys I'm not necessarily keen on, like, you know, your Holdings or like ideally how many would be available. Those sort of guys, you know, that are release valves for the guys you want starting, you know, key games. Like, for example, I'm not trying to see Partey on Thursday. You know, against anyone, so I don't want to see him at all completely involved, so let's see, man.
100%. And then obviously we got like maybe a bit of a selection issue at left back, where we spoke about it briefly earlier. You know, a bit of a toss-up between Zinchenko and Tierney. I mean, myself personally, I think I'd prefer Zinchenko for this game, because I think what we want to do and how we're going to kill Spurs is by playing our game. And I think, especially if Kulusevski's not playing, actually, I don't know if Tierney would be better against Kulusevski or Richarlison. I'm now thinking he'd be better against Kulusevski.
If Kulusevski was playing, and if he is playing, we still don't know yet, I'd be inclined to start Tierney, just because from a physical standpoint, I think he can match him as well. But if he's not available, then I might in more back towards Zinchenko. I think we'll be able to play our game regardless. Obviously, Zinchenko helps us to do it better. He's so ball dominant as well, Zinchenko. But I also think maybe to an extent now that when Zinchenko plays, everything funnels up that left side actually a lot more than the right side. Whereas I think if you remember the Brentford game, there was quite a nice balance just before the end of the break. So I don't know, man. Obviously, like you said, it's good options to have. In an ideal world, this is the sort of competition we have all around, you know, the squad and the first team as well. Because if you think Fabio Vieira had a good game against Brentford, he's probably going to be back on the bench again.
But these are good options to come off the bench anyway. These are good
options to come off the bench. Like, you know,
if it's not working
in an ideal world, ESR would be fit. It's another great option to have off the bench for this game as well. So, so when everyone's fit, I'm actually not that worried. It's just obviously in certain positions when an individual goes down, it can be a bit peak. So let's see, man. Let's see.
Yeah, fitness is obviously a huge issue for us at the moment. We have players seem to be dropping like flies. I think there's an issue with Tomiyasu as well. Like, I can't even keep up with his issues. You know, it's just what the hell is going on there? You know, because even here, like you said, having him available is for a game like this. It might be, you know, maybe some people would say, you know what, maybe put Tomiyasu to deal with Son. I don't agree. Like, I think Ben White is perfectly fine dealing with Son by himself. But, you know, this potentially could be a game where you could say, yeah, Tomiyasu, padlock this right-hand side, you know. And that's another option for us. But it doesn't seem like, you know, he's even in a position to play at the moment, which is frustrating. That's been coming for like 30 minutes, bro. But yeah, let's move on to some like predictions and whatnot. You know, we've already said that these games, you know, normally go with the home team. But Sean, how are you feeling? Are you going to buck the trend, or are you going to go with?
No, I'm going to stick with us. I'm going to go. I do think it will be quite tight. Not necessarily because I rate Spurs that highly, just because I don't know, man. It's all, you know, sometimes form just goes out the window in these games as well. And it's mad me saying that, considering we won this 3-1 last year. And I think the team is better this year than last year. But then again, I think Spurs are marginally better this year than they were last year too as well. So I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to go Jesus and Gabriel.
I choose Gabriel or centre back to score every week, because from set pieces we're really good from set pieces.
Absolutely.
But Saliba's got what, like
two? Saliba's two got two. Gabriel's got one. So
Gabriel's got one. Gabriel.
They might have like a mini competition between them two.
Exactly. So, man, if we can add 10 goals this season just from our centre back scoring from corners, sign me up, mate. You know what I mean? Sign me up.
I
can see the game going in a similar vein to last year. And I do realise that these games can like kickstart players into form. And Son hasn't been good at all for Spurs this year, right?
Until a hat-trick against Leicester.
Right, he's got a hat-trick against Leicester. Yeah, brilliant. And I realised that maybe might be kickstarting him into form, getting a bit of confidence and whatnot. But I'm confident with the way we're playing right now that we have the most sustainable brand of football. And, you know, you play... You let the two styles play out 100 times. I think ours wins the majority of time, right? That's how I'm looking at football games, right? Mm-hmm. Is just what is the most sustainable. And in terms of predicting, I'm gonna say that we're gonna get the job done, and I think we're gonna win pretty handsomely on the day. I think it might be the same scoreline as last year. Actually, I think maybe 3-1. Mm-hmm. I think potentially we take an early lead. Maybe get that second as well. Maybe Spurs come back into it a little bit, and then maybe we get a third, just to kill the game off. But yeah man, I think we've got real quality in our team, man, and we've got players who have won this fixture before. I'm hoping that that there won't be a bit of a hangover from White Hart Lane or whatever that stadium is called now. Last year, where obviously we got thumped, but you know. A lot of those players that played that game won't be playing this game.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not here. Exactly. So
you know. Actually, fuck it. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 as well. you're giving me the confidence this morning. I'm feeling bullish, man. I might change my mind again on Saturday morning, but yeah. For now, let me go 3-1. Saka will add the third.
Saka, yeah. I hear that. I need Gabby to score, man. I need Gabby to score because...
I saw Saka eating posted pandied yam on his IG story. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. He knows.
Yeah.
I said, he got signed for Spurs this weekend, man. So, yeah, he's got back for them. So,
all right, cool. Let's leave it there. We'll be back with a post-match patron as well after the Spurs game. Hopefully with some positive news, because I know if... Hey, listen, I'll be away on holiday, but
he's running from the ground.
Believe me, I'm joining on the tarmac where I'll be joining. Because if we lose, not so much. You won't hear from me. Phone off. But yeah, I'll be local if we win for sure. I won't even watch the game, but I'll just be there. Yeah, I'll just jump on. But anyway, guys, take it easy. Thanks for listening once again. Sean, it was nice to speak to you. The Lou and Sean show.
That's what you have to call the pod now.
Spotify, sign us up, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take it easy. Yeah.
Peace.
It's got to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil. Lacazette. Ozil!
Go!
Sports Social Podcast Network.